Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know we got a game on our hands, but we won't bury the lead. There has been so much chatter around the Suns and trades today, and I think it's smart for us on this Trade Machine Tuesday to at least have a discussion about it. So let's dive in a little bit here, okay?
Hold on. We can't do Trade Machine Tuesday without this.
Trade Machine Tuesday. Trade Machine Tuesday. I mean, all I could have done was hope that we forgot about this, but apparently not. It lives to see another day. All right, let's dive into it. First up, Mark Stein shared that the Suns have started assessing their post-Chris Paul future and thus identifying Terry Rozier, Fred VanVleet, and Emmanuel Quickley as potential trade targets. Now, Stein notes within his newsletter that based on what he's hearing, Rozier is perceived as available, Quickley is not available, and VanVleet is unclear. How you guys feeling about this one?
You know, I don't mind any one of these players, to be honest with you, because they give you a boost scoring-wise. But if I had to decide which one I wanted more, oh, man. I think for what the team is right now, I'd probably go Terry Rozier because I think he's a versatile piece. He can help handle the ball, but he could also, you know, obviously he could play the off-guard position as well. He's a good shooter. He's a good scorer. So I would probably go with Terry Rozier, and he's available. That's the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, Rozier was where I was leaning for a while. But if it's a we're looking to the future, we're trying to find the answer that maybe is the guy to take the mantle after Chris Paul, Quickley, and I know Stein says he's likely not available or isn't available, but I would understand why they're interested in Quickley. The age, his 3-point shooting doesn't look great here, 33.2%, but he was a much better 3-point shooter in college. So maybe it's one of those things that comes around eventually. So if I'm looking future, I get why they're thinking, but I think Rozier and the option that you could play him off ball in when you're mixing your second unit with your starters, or you want him and Book at some point in the game and you can kind of trade off and on who's on the ball. I like that.
Joe Garibay is in the chat and he says, don't go for Rozier. I prefer a reunion with Rubio if that's the case. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want those problems because we're seeing that a little bit with Chris Paul, not scoring at the high enough clip necessary to really elevate this team in crunch time and to really be a bona fide contributor in the second half of games, really. We don't want more of the same. If you brought in Ricky Rubio to be the backup point guard to Chris Paul, while that's good assist-wise, you're still struggling scoring the rock, and you need a guard that's going to be able to score. I think the Suns don't need another facilitator. They need another scorer more than anything else.
Yeah, and I agree on that front. Ricky Rubio's 32, coming off a major injury. Like, bringing him in and hoping that he can rekindle the magic is all well and good, but if you're thinking about your future, that's not much of a future.
Yeah.
It's a very short runway you have there.
Yeah. And also, Saul, this was something you mentioned before the show started, just to be clear, because I think everyone, at least in the chat, it appears, understands what's happening with this conversation. It's not to move Chris Paul for one of these guys.
Yeah, no.
It's bringing them to this squad with Chris Paul on it for when Chris Paul can no longer perform or when he's no longer with the team.
Yeah.
Kind of a situation.
For sure.
I know there was some confusion there.
For sure. It's to supplement what you have right now, for sure.
Yeah. And then I know everyone in the chat is already like, but Gambo said. What did Gambo say, Emma? He said, nah.
Forget about it.
The Reaper weighed in and he said, oh, the Suns aren't interested in these guys because they wouldn't fit with CP3.
He said, I do not see the Suns having interest in these guys, which sounded a little bit more of an opinion than a fact. I don't know. Maybe he clarified on the show.
But he also said that they would not be a good fit next to Chris Paul. And the whole point of this is not for Chris Paul to play with said player. The whole point of this is to get a player in here that can get you, that can be a bridge between Chris Paul and whatever's coming up next if they're not the answer themselves, right? Like, you're not looking to play this guy in Devin Booker's minutes, right? Like, you're not going to see those two guys on the court at the same time and Chris Paul and this other one. Like, it's supposed to be supplementary, like, not a replacement.
Well, look, and I actually said that to him on Twitter. I said, wouldn't quickly be more about the future and not as much of a concern with CP3? To which he responded, what if CP3 comes back next year? You're going to have him and quickly for the rest of the season and all of next? At times you can play him and Paul together with Book, but not for long stretches and not in the playoffs. I would rule out a trade for him. But to me, you wouldn't be looking at playing them together. He'd be campaign. He'd be the guy you're bringing in to spell Chris Paul, and you wouldn't have him on the court at the same
time. I mean, to be honest, like, you're looking at, listen, if they go after another guard, okay, let's say they get Fred VanVleet, and let's say they get Terry Rozier, they get, you know, quickly, especially if they get quickly. Like, I mean, the writing's on the wall for Chris Paul because you're looking to move on from him. And that's the whole point of this. You're not, for next year, to think that another guard, a bona fide good guard, is going to come in here and ride the bench and play 15 minutes a game, there's no fucking way. There's just no way. They're going to play, and they're going to play a significant amount because Chris Paul is on the downside of his career. You can't just keep throwing Chris Paul out there and expecting the same results that you got the last 2 years. We're seeing that that's not going to happen. So whoever comes in is going to have to take his minutes. Chris Paul goes to the bench if he wants to stay, but I don't know what the reality of that is either.
Look, I have the utmost respect for Gambo, but like Lindsay said, this wasn't, I'm reporting that the Suns,
which
are,
he will tell you when he has spoken to somebody and he said, what I'm hearing is. So that, I mean, there are semantics to all these tweets. We all understand that, right?
I think
he might have said something on the show, though.
I've heard little things I'm leaning towards they wouldn't be interested in guys, but Mark Stein is a guy I trust. This isn't Jake Fisher throwing something out there. Mark Stein is a guy that is reputable, has written for the New York Times, has been an ESPN reporter, has sources deep within the NBA. So I tend to lean towards the Suns do have some interest. Maybe they've been rebuffed for what they've offered, or they've just kicked the tires. Mm-hmm. But I trust what Mark Stein's saying, that at some point the Suns had some interest in this, and they are thinking about their future beyond Chris Paul.
Yeah. There was also a report from Bob McCowan on his podcast where he said, quote, I talked to an NBA insider yesterday. This is a guy I've known for a few years. He tells me OG Anunoby wants out of Toronto. And then Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star said he heard that at least one team offered 3 first round picks for OG Anunoby. So this is where the Trade Machine Tuesday machine comes into play, because Espo put together this fun little shenanigans here. Espo, what did you come up with?
Look, I know they want to get off Jay Crowder. DeAndre Ayton is a guy that's becoming expendable, potentially.
Well, Toronto's been rumored to want him.
Yeah, well, that too. And then, you know, if they've already been offered 3 first-round picks, you're probably going to have to pony up. But with the F them kids mentality that's in this front office, why not throw him in? Otto Porter, he's injured this year, so it's more of a salary matching. You get OG Anunoby and Gary Trent Jr., so you add a decent amount of scoring heft here. You get a great defender in OG Anunoby, and you make your bench a little bit more dangerous than it currently is. I'll be honest, I think this is 50-50. It's one of those that I get if people don't think it makes sense, but I also get where it would. And the more I look at it and the lineup options you could have, the more I kind of get sold that this may be about the best you're going to get for DA?
I can talk myself into it.
I can
initially off the top, it's like, I don't know, but I feel like I could talk myself into it.
Yeah, first of all, like if it was just DA for Ananobi and Gary Trent Jr., cool. Maybe I could be convinced of that, right? But the fact that you're throwing in three first round picks, I don't care what James Jones values in terms of the draft, those are still valuable assets that you have to account for,
yeah,
because other teams do. And you can't just throw those things away thinking that they don't cost you anything because somebody else wants them. Like, that's just not how you do business. And then on top of that, like, yeah, we can sit here and talk about the scoring averages for both of these guys. Yeah, it'll help the team increase, although I have my doubts as to how they would fit in with this particular group of guys. Monty Williams has not been the best at managing personnel to try and get the most out of them in terms of rotations. So I wonder how that would be. Would we see Gary Trent Jr. all of a sudden not play a fucking minute in a game because they couldn't find time to squeeze him in between Cam and Mikhail and Ananobi? I don't know about that. And then on top of that, like, defensive wise, like, and that's the thing that everybody wants to point out is like, well, defensively, they'd be really good. Well, Ananobi's having his worst year defensively as we speak, and Gary Trent Jr. is not in that same conversation as well.
Arguably, DA is too.
Yeah, DA is too, but still, his defensive rating is still better than both of them right now. So, I wouldn't. I feel like you're just doing a trade just to make a trade in this one.
Okay, if it was one first round pick and two second rounders instead of three first round picks, does that change your mind at all?
Probably not.
No.
No.
Look, people are saying Siakam. I don't think this is enough to get in the Siakam conversation with them. They're going to want a hell of a lot more, I think, to get Siakam. You're talking four pick swaps, more young talent, I think, that they'd want. So I don't think you're getting in the Siakam discussion if those even materialize for anybody.
I mean, you need a superstar, right? I think we've agreed that you need somebody you need to score, like somebody that can get theirs, right?
Do we have enough to get that?
Well, I don't believe we do.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like in the thing that you're honestly right now, DA is an investment. You got to look at him as an investment, and you're hoping that that investment is going to at least give you a window at some point that you can capitalize on. Right now, I don't think it is. I don't think it's it. And his trade value is lower than it was maybe a half a season ago. But I also don't think that making that trade, and what we have seen, we got to say this, we have seen DA step up his level of play in the playoffs specifically. I don't know if this really makes you all that much better when you swap those two, because there's just too much of a variable, especially in the front court, that you're going to have to account for.
See, I don't think people are going to like this, but I think you need to be looking at this trade deadline twofold. Keep you good enough to compete in this year's playoffs, but also give you the flexibility to still compete and make moves in this offseason where your cap becomes problematic, where you're going to have issues that all this expiring money that's going out, you can't bring in and replace. So I think you got to get as much talent and assets in the door this offseason, utilizing some of those expirings to give you more flexibility to make subsequent moves in an offseason. So that's part of what I think you'd be doing here is cashing in on DA to get multiple assets, trying to figure out what the future looks like. I think that your OG is more palatable on his current contract and his level of talent and room for growth than DA is with some teams looking at trades. So you may be able to flip him again in the offseason if you don't like the way it works. This is the way I think James Jones needs to think is he can't just be playing checkers. He's got to play 4D chess going into this trade deadline and looking at ways to get in assets that you can keep under your cap and make moves with as well. I think you might have to look, how do I maximize DA to get multiple pieces to then maybe make another
move? I think you have a log jam. And this is my thing is, though, I think you have a log jam between Booker, Mikhail, Cam, Trent, and Ananobi. That's five guys that average over 12, 13, 14 points a game, and Devin Booker being the dominant one of that group. Like, I just think that that's a lot of mouths to feed that need to score, that to provide that value that you're talking about. And that's why DA, and for whatever you want to say about DA, DA is not a vital piece in terms of scoring when Devin Booker is in the lineup. He's a nice accessory. We definitely want more from him, but he doesn't demand the ball like these other guys might. And that's a lot of mouths to feed.
But if you have OG in the starting lineup and you move Cam to the bench and Gary Trent Jr. also, obviously this is all pending on egos and all the things, right? You put Gary Trent Jr. and Cam Johnson on the bench, also including Damian Lee in there. You got shooters everywhere for the most part.
Positionless basketball. What happened to that? Everybody wants a bunch of 6'7" wings that can guard, switch, do all that. Isn't that all we heard forever? By the way, Sundress, I was saying OG has more flexibility in being traded and more interest around the league than DA because he's making $17 million this year, $18 million next, and I believe $19 million the subsequent year. So
almost
not
20.
Make as much, has a higher ceiling in some people's minds. So I think he might be able to bring you back more value if you want to flip him.
So if OG really wants out, okay, why do we have to trade DA to get him? Like, why can't we trade the first? Now, if you want to do 3 first round picks, Jay Crowder, and maybe throw in Landry Shamet.
Because why would they do that?
The first round picks?
No, they'd want a young talent back as well because he may want out, but they've got him under control for two and a half more years. The rest of this in 2 more years. They're not just giving him up for nothing. This is the problem Suns fans fall into. They think we'll give you our trash and a few first round picks, and please give us back something of value.
Because the expirings, and if they were looking at the cap numbers on their end and stuff like that, that's the reason why I would say that. But that's it.
At the end of the day, I don't think this is a deal that James Jones would make. But if it were, I would be able to convince myself that it was okay. That's how I'm looking at it.
Toronto would take that deal in a heartbeat, I think.
And that's why I said I don't think James Jones would make this deal.
I don't think
but
he would
if
either.
It happened, I could convince myself that things were okay.
Look, Eric said Crowder, you know, I think that DA is only going to move Crowder James Jones is only going to move Crowder. If he does that, he's failed. You can't sit on the additional expiring contracts, let that money evaporate and leave yourself with very little flexibility going into next year.
Well, it's funny you should say that.
It is funny you should say that because we might just maybe have figured out why Jay Crowder hasn't been moved yet. So here's a little nugget of information from Zach Lowe.
Yeah, someone told me that has some interest in Crowder, that the Suns seem to want 2 of the following 3 things: a good young player, a first round pick, and a rotation, almost a starter Crowder level player, 2 of those 3. And it's like, that's cool. Like, that's why Jay Crowder hasn't been traded yet, because we're 50 games into the season. He hasn't played and he's in the last year of his contract.
So the asking price is pretty high.
Why would you think you could get that for a guy that's been sitting out and that you weren't even willing to start this year?
He's been reading Twitter. Jay Crowder for LeBron. I mean, who says no?
That's an asinine asking price.
Well, it's asinine until you get down to the wire. And a lot of these things do happen like that, right? You just, if you really value the asset that you have, and maybe potentially in this scenario, you are overvaluing it. You're going to wait until the very last minute, just in case somebody gets desperate and they want to pay that price. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening right now. We're all frustrated about it, but I genuinely feel like James Jones is probably not going to make a big enough move to make a really big difference. He'll get rid of Jay Crowder somehow, some way, for something that's probably cents to the dollar, and everybody will be upset, and we're going to move on.
Look, if Jay Crowder doesn't get traded,
that's a failure.
I said this on Twitter. Well, it's a failure, and they better not buy his ass out. Because if they don't trade him and then they proceed to buy him out and let him go pick a contender that he can go play for that you potentially face in the playoffs, you have failed on multiple levels. At that point, you sit there and you say, sorry, Jay, you're just sitting out now. You got your wish. You're not here, but you're not going to go help somebody else win. You can go pick your team in the offseason, but I'm not helping you right now to potentially hurt myself in the playoffs.
Okay, so Sunderous Dunks in the chat said he was having a hard time understanding the audio. It was fast, but basically what Zach Lowe was saying was that the Suns want two of these three things for Jae Crowder: a first round pick, a good young player, and a rotational, basically starter level player. They want two of those three things, which I personally think is asking a lot for Jae Crowder.
Well, and that goes to debunk the theory out there that James Jones doesn't value picks. He might not value the draft and the players in the draft, but he values the picks
as assets
because that matters. Yeah. And so I mean, listen, if you got a first, you're not getting a first for Jae Crowder. You're just not. You're not getting a first and then a rotational player. I don't see any scenario where that happens. And you're not going to get a good young player unless it's some guy that you really valued in the draft that somebody drafted and maybe they're, you know, just on the fringe and they never really play. But that's, there's nothing here.
And Eric and Sundress are saying the Suns are a top three team without making a move.
If we're 100% healthy and at the top of our game.
They're a top three team in the West.
Maybe. I mean, I think four or five in the West, but in the league, top three?
No, I think top three in the West. I could see them being top three in the West, but not in the league. Not the way Boston's playing.
Bag said, is it Crowder and something else, though, or just Crowder? From what I understand, he's talking about just Crowder. Yeah, if it's Crowder and something else, though, the theory would be that it would be like a Dario Saric or a Landry Shamet or something of that nature, which adds value to an extent, but again, not a player that you're phoning home about necessarily.
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling that James Jones is difficult to negotiate.
And that was another thing that has been brought up multiple times from all of these people with their inside sources, is that a lot of people around the league are saying that it's not easy.
Well, that's
having conversations with the Suns right now.
I think to a level, you know, to a degree, listen, what's James Jones' experience, right? It's working with Ryan McDonough behind the scenes, kind of coming up through through those ranks and then taking everything on himself. And then Jeff Bowers, right? That was his name, Jeff Bowers? It came in to kind of help James kind of navigate things. That's ironically when the Chris Paul deal did finally go through.
Bowers was in the New Orleans franchise.
Yeah, and so I wonder how much everything is on JJ right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how much inexperience is really starting to show up on his end, because if you try to treat these things like they're valuable baseball cards and you never want to let them go, you will start to create that reputation for yourself as being a difficult person to work with, and nobody's going to want to call you. Nobody's going to want to call you because you're asking for the moon, and that's not good. Somebody had broke it down, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. It's like when you do a trade, actually, Bill Armstrong, the GM for the Coyotes, talked about a great trade is when both teams are able to get something out of it. Mm-hmm. So in your guys' example of an Anunoby and Trent getting traded for DA and the picks, like both teams essentially get something in return that helps both teams. And that's a perfect trade, right? Because both, and it makes it, and you create goodwill because now the other team doesn't feel like you bamboozled them and will be willing to negotiate with you even more in the future, which I thought was a great thing to say, because you don't really think about terms like that. You know, you always want the farm.
If you fleece somebody, they're not going to want to come back and play nice in the sandbox with you the next time around.
Well, that's how they lose their job.
Yeah, and he said, basically, fleece me once, shame on me.
Yeah.
Fleece me twice, well, I'm not trading with you again.
Mm-hmm.
You
know what I mean? Exactly.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.